In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today again. Just remember, God is still on the throne. He hears and answers prayer. And if your faith is intact, it's going to all turn out okay. We believe in Romans 8:28, God works all things for the good to those who love him. Do you love him? Then whatever you're going through is going to be worked for the good. How do I know that? Because it tells us in Romans 8:28, and God does not lie. I am looking at the 8th chapter of St. Mark, 27th verse. Jesus went on with his disciples to the village of Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist. Others tell us Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. I tell you why. Because the next verse is going to tell us why. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great sufferings and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Well, we're going to look at that Bible experience that tells us about the Son of Man suffering. It's from Isaiah 53. "Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before them like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sufferings, acquainted with infirmity, as one from whom others hide their faces." Yes, this is Jesus crucified. "He was despised, and we held him in no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities." Hallelujah. Do you know that today? That your sicknesses have been borne by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Do you know that today? "And he carried our diseases." Yes. Sue, be healed completely in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. He carried our diseases, and yet we accounted him stricken and struck down by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. Yes, my transgressions, our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that makes us whole. And by his stripes we were healed. Oh, yes. You see, Jesus would be rejected by the elders. He would be spat upon. He would be tossed out like a dog. And yet, the Bible tells us that in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, "All we like sheep, bah, have gone astray. We have turned each to his own way." That's sin. "And the Lord has laid upon him the guilt of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep before its shearers, he opened not his mouth. So he did not open his mouth, he was silent. By a perversion of justice, he was taken away. And who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for our transgression, the transgression of his people. And they made his grave with the wicked, and his tomb with the rich. although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring, you and I, and shall prolong his days. I tell you, it was the will of God, and it was the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he be stricken and smitten so that you and I would be saved. That's the whole thing. Jesus was stricken and smitten and crucified and nailed and absorbed all the sins of the world so that you and I would go to heaven. He did it for you and he did it for me. And if you or I were the only one, he would have done it for you or for me. This is Jesus, stricken, smitten, spat upon, hated, rejected. I tell you, he did it for you and he did it for me. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great sufferings and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. In other words, you're not going to die. You're not going to be spat upon. You're not going to be rejected. Don't say that. Listen to what Jesus. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." In other words, Peter wanted to erect a tent and let's have the greatest show in town. We've got the healer, the deliverer with us, the one who speaks the word of God with love. Oh no, Jesus' greatest thing that he would do would be that he would go to the cross, because he wanted to show you and I that he would die for us so that we would go to heaven. He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any of you want to be my followers, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose their life, and those who want to lose their life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will save their life. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and to forfeit their life, especially their soul? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in his glory, the glory of his Father, with the holy angels." Are you ashamed of Jesus? I'm ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the crucified. I'm not ashamed of the risen one. Oh, he's all I have. I don't have anyone else but him. He is the Lord, and he's all you have. You have no one else but him. You're like me. And you know what? He bore your wounds and carried your infirmities. He took your diseases upon the cross. By his stripes, we were healed. You were healed. And he said to them, "Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see that the kingdom of God has come with power." Now that's going to happen now in the transfiguration. 6 days later, 6 days after Caesarea Philippi, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. It was the glory of God. The glory of God shining through his body, making his clothes whiter than any bleacher could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses. Elijah with Moses. And they were talking with Jesus. What are they talking with Jesus about? The weather? Will it snow? No, no. They were talking about his departure to Jerusalem, that he would be the suffering servant of Isaiah 53, that he would go to the cross out of love for us. That's what they were talking about. This happened in the fall. How do I know? Because it's going to tell me now. Then Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. That's the time that they made tents in the fall. Yes, it was in the fall, probably September. He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. They were scared stiff. They had nothing to say. Let's build three tents. Let's do something we know how to do. This is too scary for us. We see you coming in power. We see you glorified. We see you as he will be in the resurrection. We see you totally consumed by the love of God, shining like the sun. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and this is the cloud of glory. And from the cloud there came a voice, This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Oh, listen to him. Do you listen to Jesus? I had the children yesterday, and I talked about the good shepherd, my sheep, bah, hear my voice, and they follow me. We need to listen to Jesus as he speaks to us in the Word of God and as he speaks to us in our hearts. Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them but only Jesus. No, not Moses. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. No, not Elijah. Jesus is fulfillment of the prophets. They saw no one but Jesus. Who do you look up and see? Are you afraid today? Are you looking at your fears today? Are you looking at your turmoil today? Are you looking at your chaos today? Remember, Jesus walked on chaos, and he wants to give order to your chaos because he loves you. That's what the cross tells us. Infinite love by Jesus Christ. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had been raised from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead could mean. Then they asked him, Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? He said to them, Elijah is indeed coming first to restore all things. How then is it written that the Son of Man, that he is to go through many sufferings and be treated with contempt? Isaiah 53. But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they did to him whatever they pleased. That's John the Baptist. As it is written about him, Elijah has come. I tell you, we need a firm foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need a foundation that Jesus is the very foundation of our lives. We need never to be ashamed of him, because he is the Lord of heaven and earth and has plans for us. Do you know that today? Are you ashamed of Jesus? Are you ashamed of Jesus? Oh, Lord, that I never would be ashamed of you. Because if I'm ashamed of you, you're going to be ashamed of me when you come in your glory. Oh, Lord, never let me be ashamed of you. I remember many years ago, it came to me yesterday. My father was in the hospital. He was dying of cancer. And this man across the street from this rectory, his name was Joel, and he was Jewish. And he looked at me and said, I know you need a friend, and I want to be your friend. And I felt so good. He said, but you can never mention Jesus. Well, I never saw him again, because I had my life in Jesus. How can I not mention Jesus? Oh, I needed a friend. I needed a friend badly. But if it was to mean rejecting Jesus. I said, no. Never again did I see him. How could I not talk about Jesus? How could I not speak about the one I love? How can I not speak about the one who gave his life for me? When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them. They're coming down from the mountain, and some scribes arguing with them. When the whole crowd saw Jesus, they were immediately overcome with awe, and they ran forward to greet him. He asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" Someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son. He has a spirit that makes him unable to speak, and whenever it seizes him, it dashes him down, and he foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to cast it out, but they could not do so." He answered them, "You faithless generation, how much longer must I be among you? How much longer must I put up with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to Jesus. And when the spirit saw Jesus, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the father, "How long has he been like this?" And he said, "From childhood. He has often cast him into the fire, and has often cast him into the water to destroy him. But if you are able to do anything, have pity on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes." Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Immediately the father of the child cried out, "I believe. Help my unbelief." You know, if that's your prayer today, it's the prayer of the father who had a son who was demon-possessed. "I believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You spirit that keeps this boy from speaking and hearing, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." After crying out and convulsing the boy terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he was able to stand. When he had entered the house, his disciple asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind can only come out through prayer, and another place, fasting." The disciples, remember, went around preaching the kingdom of God, and not only preaching the kingdom of God, but healing people of demons. But this one could not come out without prayer and fasting. Remember that Jesus often went to the mountains to pray, and he who is God went to the mountains to pray. They went there from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching the disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying, and were afraid to ask him. They didn't want to understand. They didn't want to understand that he had to die. But yet the greatest thing that Jesus did was dying on the cross and rising from the dead. That's the greatest thing that Jesus did. Oh yes, he opened the eyes of blind Bartimaeus. But the greatest thing that Jesus did was dying on the cross and rising from the dead. They wanted nothing to do with that. They wanted to set up a tent and let's make this great, because you can heal the sick, you can cast out demons, and people will come to you. Jesus says, "No, I must preach to the people all around, and then I will be rejected in Jerusalem by the elders of the Jews. And that's what happened. That's what happened. And then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" These are the disciples. But they were silent, for they were on the way, were arguing with one another, who was the greatest? That's sick. Jesus, who became the servant of all, they want to become the greatest. Just like us. Always asking the wrong questions. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to the child, to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." Let's continue. John said to him, "Teacher, we were seeing someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him." In other words, you know what? He doesn't belong to our group. And we tried to stop him. This is what Jesus said. "Because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him. For no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterwards to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name Christ will by no means lose his reward." Do you pour water for people? Oh yes. I remember when I was in the seminary, I couldn't speak openly all the time about Jesus, but I could pour water in the name of Jesus. And there's a blessing that comes with that. And what about cooking? If you cook for Jesus and give it to your family as if they were Jesus, that's why I make the best. The reward will not be taken away from you. I'm not even thinking of rewards. I'm thinking of doing what Jesus said. "If anyone puts a stumbling block before one of these little ones, the children, who believe in me, it would be better if a great millstone were hung around their neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. With your foot, if it causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can you season with it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." Oh, this is the thing that has divided us, that we're not at peace with one another. This is the thing that divides us. Do you know what? It makes us impotent because we do not love each other. We divide. I'm for this one. I'm for that one. It's about this. It's about that. I'm going to tell you, it's about love. It's about love. That's what it's about. It's about love. "The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. And with that, the child, the Son of God, leapt into the womb of the Virgin Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Would you leave something on PayPal? www.inseason.net. Go to PayPal and leave a donation. I'd be very grateful. Or write to me, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. He would have died just for you if you were the only one. Do not be ashamed of Jesus. Just tell people about Jesus and how wonderful he is and how he took you and I to the cross so that we would go to heaven. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.